Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
You've heard what Joe and I had to say about this so-called trans things. Tucker Carlson has his own take on this, so let's listen to what Tucker had to say.
It was just last week that we noticed that parts of the transgender movement seem to be getting militant and possibly dangerous. We did a whole segment about it on Thursday night. That segment was sparred by an NPR segment we had heard and never expected to hear. NPR is always, as a matter of editorial policy, completely opposed to civilian ownership of firearms, with the possible exception of maybe IRS agents. Yet here suddenly was that very same station, National Public Radio, positively urging trans people to buy guns, as many guns as possible, and if necessary, to use them. The world is dangerous, explained one trans gun owner. You have to be dangerous back. And that seems strange to us. Is the United States really a dangerous place for trans people? Well, West Baltimore is dangerous. You could easily get murdered there. But if you're trans in this country, obviously there are many downsides, but there do appear to be some benefits. It's a lot easier to get into Harvard, for example. It's definitely easier to get a job at Citibank or in the Biden White House. If you're transgender and can so much as fly a kite, the Pentagon will happily make you an F-35 pilot just so Hollywood can make a movie about it. Identifying as trans, whatever, again, its downsides, does convey status in this country, which is why so many young people now do. Not a lot of 19-year-olds are pretending to be car mechanics or linemen for a regional power company in eastern Ohio, but plenty of college freshmen do pretend to be members of the opposite sex. And why wouldn't they? The people in charge despise working-class whites, but they venerate the trans community. People are just responding to incentives. It's rational in a way. But that does not explain the anger that we heard in that NPR segment. Why are some trans people so angry, and why do they seem to be mad specifically at traditional Christians? We can't think of any trans person who's ever been murdered by a pastor. As far as we know, that has never happened. So it's not an actual threat of violence from Christians that's inspiring some trans people to buy AR-15s. No, it's got to be more fundamental than that, and it is. The trans movement is the mirror image of Christianity and therefore its natural enemy. In Christianity, the price of admission is admitting that you're not God. Christians openly concede that they have no real power over anything, and for that matter, very little personal virtue. They will tell you to your face that they are sinful and helpless and basically absurd. They're not embarrassed about any of this. They brag about it. That saved a wretch like me, goes the most famous Christian hymn ever written in English. The trans movement takes the opposite view. Trans ideology claims dominion over nature itself. We can change the identity we were born with, they will tell you with wild-eyed certainty. Christians can never agree with this statement because these are powers they believe God alone possesses. That unwillingness to agree, that failure to acknowledge a trans person's dominion over nature, incites and enrages some in the trans community. People who believe they're God can't stand to be reminded that they're not. So Christianity and transgender orthodoxy are wholly incompatible theologies. They can never be reconciled. They are on a collision course with each other. One side is likely to draw blood before the other side. That's what we concluded last week. Yesterday morning, tragically, our fears were confirmed. A self-identified trans person called Audrey Hale committed mass murder at a Christian school in Nashville. Hale burst into a place called the Convent School and executed 3 9-year-olds as well as 3 adults. Police have released body cam footage from the end of the massacre. We're showing you just a small part of it. You can see the rest online if you want. We're not going to show it because it's too awful and sad. But what was almost as sickening to see in a far more subtle and insidious way was the media coverage of yesterday's tragedy. Here's Terry Moran of ABC News, for example, suggesting that Christians were murdered in Tennessee because they infringed on the rights of transgendered people. Watch.
Audrey Hale was identified herself as a transgender person. The state of Tennessee earlier this month passed and the governor signed a bill that banned transgender medical care for minors, as well as a law that prohibited adult entertainment, including male and female impersonators, after a series of drag show controversies in that state.
The state of Tennessee bans the sexual mutilation of children, children get shot to death in a school. It's cause and effect. That's what ABC News is telling you. That's not far from justifying mass murder. But others took the next step. A group called the Trans Resistance Network said that the shooter's death was a complex tragedy that resulted from, quote, anti-trans bias. The Hershey Chocolate Company's new trans spokesman, meanwhile, someone called Faye Johnstone, posted messages after the shooting complaining about, quote, trans misogyny. In Canada, a taxpayer-funded trans rights organization put out a statement that ignored the murder of the children in Nashville entirely and instead claimed that there has been a, quote, exponential rise in anti-trans violence. That is a lie. It's a provable lie. And in fact, the opposite is true. We seem to be watching the rise of trans terrorism. The man who tried to murder Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh after the repeal of Roe v. Wade identified as a, quote, trans gamer girl. The man who shot up a nightclub in Colorado in this past November and murdered five people identified as non-binary. And now this. And there could be more. Antifa has announced this coming Saturday is the, quote, trans day of vengeance. Vengeance for what? That's not explained. But the suggestion is there will be violence in Washington this weekend. Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene tweeted about this today, because if there's a day of vengeance coming, the rest of us should probably know about it. And for doing so, immediately had her official congressional Twitter account suspended. You're not supposed to talk about any of this, apparently. And the authorities in Nashville certainly are not planning to talk about it. They're doing their best not to. Here's the police chief of Nashville explaining that, well, he's happy to talk about the shooter's guns. He's not going to tell you anything about the shooter's motives. Watch.
So in the manifesto, there's several different writings about other locations. There was talks about the school. There was a map of the school, a drawing of how potentially she would enter and the assaults that would take place. It's quite a bit of writing to it. I have not read the entire manifesto. Our team and the FBI have been working on this.
Well, that's interesting. Within what seemed like minutes, we saw pictures of the rifles and the pistol. We now have horrifying body cam footage from within the school. So unsettling, we're not going to show it to you. But somehow we can't see the manifesto in which the killer explains why she killed. Why is that? It's not accidental. Well, you know exactly why it is. Because it would make the obvious undeniable. The trans movement is targeting Christians, including with violence. Most Christian leaders in this country don't want to admit that. Admitting it might force them to take deeply unfashionable positions. But it is true, and anyone who's paying attention knows that it's true. And so, like most true things at this point, it is officially suppressed. Here, for example, is Joe Biden yelping again about how it's all your fault when these tragedies happen because you've got guns at home. This is from yesterday.
We have to do more to stop gun violence. It's ripping our communities apart, ripping the soul of this nation, ripping at the very soul of the nation. And we have to do more to protect our schools so they aren't turned into prisons. You know, the shooter in this situation reportedly had two assault weapons and a pistol, two AK-47. So I call on Congress again to pass my assault weapons ban.
So we're going to prevent you from learning why the shooter did it, and we don't have to guess because she wrote a whole manifesto about why she did it. And we know that she did that because she told a friend of hers on Instagram that she did it. But we can't see it. We can only talk about the guns. We can't know what kind of drugs she was taking, what kind of hormones or SSRIs or benzodiazepines. We can only guess. We can only talk about the guns. Pass my assault weapons ban. That'll fix the problem. But Joe Biden is lying about that. He knows that he's lying, and you know that he's lying. Yesterday's massacre did not happen because of lax gun laws. Yesterday's massacre happened because of a deranged and demonic ideology that is infecting this country with the encouragement of people like Joe Biden. Let's start by being honest about that.
All righty, very good. You know, he was spot on. Tucker was spot on. That's exactly what's happening. The reality
yep,
is
can
this.
I, let me add, they had a breaking story on the London Daily Mail that gun-toting transgender woman who became the face of the D-Day of Vengeance organized by the activists after that Nashville massacre, is a former soldier who's also a member of Antifa. I wonder if there's something about the shooter there being a member of Antifa also, because the one that's heading up the Day of Vengeance is a Antifa member.
Well, and they said Antifa is supposed to be there.
They're the ones putting on the Day
absolutely.
Of Vengeance. They're the sponsors,
now,
yeah.
These are state-sponsored.
Because their members are a bunch of trans.
Antifa is state-sponsored terrorists. These are terrorists sponsored by Joe Obama Biden, sponsored by Kamala Harris, who actually had funds to get them out of bail, to get them out of jail if they were arrested, so that they could go out and burn and loot some more.
Right.
This is the reality now. So what is our courageous FBI doing? Are they going out and arresting Antifa for burning buildings and clubbing and killing people? No.
Burning,
no, they're more concerned about if you have a pro-lifer, if you're a pastor and you're out there, or if you're a pro-lifer at an abortion mill trying to save innocent little children from being slaughtered, well, then that's where your FBI, it's where you find them, trying to find something or harassing those people. And, you know, this is the days we're living in, where that is the Antichrist society. So, there you go. Nearly $100 billion in deposits pulled from banks. Officials call system sound and resilient. Joe, when the people in this country have pulled $100 billion from their banks, and there's more banks about to fail, let me read the article. This is Worthy News Navigation, and it's by Tad Cloud. Regulators again assured the public that the banking system is safe, as fresh data showed customers recently pulled nearly $100 billion in deposits. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, oh, she's a wicked woman. She's the one, Joe, that said, you women are out there and you're working and you're on paternity leave, go get an abortion and get back to work. That wicked, wicked woman, okay? Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell, and more than a dozen other officials convened a special closed meeting of the Financial Stability Oversight Council on Friday. The readout release shortly after the market closed Friday came around, the same time as the Fed data showed that the bank customers collectively have pulled out $98.4 billion from their accounts for that week ending March 15th. Hedge funds flee banks leading related stocks. Local hedge funds cut their exposure at U.S. bank stocks to near a 10-year low and fled, lending sensitive shares amid the banking turmoil that began earlier this month. Goldman Sachs said in its Prime Services Weekly Report, an indicator of how bearish or bullish hedge funds are, position showed that investors become more pessimistic, their long positions in banking divided by short positions ended the period of March 17th through the 23rd at 1.28, near a 10-year low. There you go. I'm going to just stop right there. So I think it's another country. I think it's Brazil now is no longer going to use American dollars. I believe they announced that
China
today.
China and Russia are working together, and they've recently even made a pact. Saudi Arabia, they are trying to set up what is called the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. And what that is China, Russia, India, Pakistan, Iran, North Korea, and now they're trying to bring Saudi Arabia is actually the Saudi cabinet approved a memorandum granting the kingdom dialogue partner status, the first step to being full membership in the SCO, the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. And by the way, their purpose is to get rid of the dollar as being the world's currency and make it the Chinese money. Oh, wonder, joining together to stop America's dollar from being the world currency.
You know, just think of how things changed when we had a legitimate president, one that was actually elected and not inserted. How things were so different during the 4 years of President Trump, still legitimate president of this country. What a difference we were. America, our economy was growing at leaps and bounds, and we became energy independent for the first time in years. America was up high, and then the opposition, the devil. But what happened? America became, remember what President Reagan said, trust but verify? America forgot to verify. And then, even when all of this election fraud came upon us, when the time came to do something about it, to fight, stand against it, to do the right thing and call it out, again, Mike Pence did not have the courage to do the right thing, and he wasn't alone. He had a number of Republican senators who tucked their tail and ran, and this was unbelievable, and America's paying the price for that. But
remember the words of Abraham Lincoln. At what point then is the approach of danger to be expected? I answer, if it ever reach us, it must spring up amongst us. It cannot come from abroad. If destruction be our lot, we must ourselves be its author and finisher. As a nation of free men, we must live through all time or die by suicide. And suicide because too many people are sitting back, Pastor Ernie, watching things happen. They are not running to the battle. They're not fighting the good fight. They are not getting involved. They're sitting back just thinking somebody else will fix the problem. And like you said, God made us for such a time like this. This is our opportunity to get out there and what? Lay up crowns and treasures in heaven. It's like our chance to play in the Super Bowl. We get to go out into the battle and, win some awards.
No, you're right, Jim. Oregon Democrats seek to create sanctuary state for kids to get abortions, meaning kill their babies, and sex change without parental consent. How many counties now are trying to secede from Oregon? They're trying to leave Oregon, get out. Half the state wants to leave Oregon. A Democratic, unclean lawmakers in Oregon are working to create a sanctuary state for minors so they can kill their babies or they can get sexually mutilated without their parents' consent. Yeah. The measure, what they call the Reproductive Health and Access to Care Act, would allow any person without regard to the age to get abortions or sex change surgeries, including those that will sterilize them without their parents' knowledge or permission. You know, Joe, I would not be a bit surprised, and I'm not kidding you, that in Oregon, that they would go to boys, to high school boys, and tell these high school boys, you're pregnant. And, unless you abort it, you're going to have a baby, okay? And those boys in Oregon might believe it, Joe, because
Pastor, the first plank of the homosexual manifesto is free and unfettered abortion. So apparently, sodomites need abortions.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the first item on their plank, on their manifesto.
Well, it's just unbelievable.
It's totally crazy, right? Oh, headlines just came up. The Senate voted to end COVID-19, the national emergency. Biden strongly opposes the resolution, but won't veto it because why? The Senate voted 68-23 to stop his emergency power, and the good news is the House has already passed the resolution last month. I think what was about 229-197. So Biden is going to have to give up his power. He's been ruling by executive order and presidential fiat, and they're taking away his power. So finally, it's only been, 3 years we've had a...
When is that supposed to go into effect?
As soon as they get the bill finished. He said it was he was going to wait till sometime in April, but they are May, but they want it done immediately. So as soon as the bill hits these desks, it could be a matter of a few days.
All right, very good. That's good news.
So, some good news. They're taking power away from the king.
All right, here's an update. We talked about this here in Ohio. The communists, the antichrists, the deathocrats are at it again. But here, the Supreme Court of Ohio will hear their case filed last week in the opposition's of the ballot board approving the language of the petition supported by Ohio's abortionists that would enshrine abortion of full-term babies while removing parental notifications and other legal protections, possibly including trans treatment. The petition language includes miscarriage, fertility treatment, and contraception. So, of course, that's what they got. What they call the Ohio Ballot Initiative. Let me see here. So our side has, we offered a writ of mandamus against this. I'm looking, DeBlaise versus Ohio Ballot.
Flushed down the toilet, what it
yeah.
should be.
Yeah, the, let me see, let me jump ahead of this a little bit. The lawsuit has gained the attention of national and statewide news outlets. I can see here our what they call mainstream media is, again, especially like that Spectrum One News, they're very, very pro-death and pro-sodomite, very pro-sodomite. The lawsuit has gained the attention of national and statewide news outlets. The proposal to enshrine abortion rights in the Ohio Constitution advanced smoothly through their initial stages of the winding process to get on the ballot, but as advocates begin to gather signatures to put up on the amendment in November, opponents begin setting up roadblocks. And boy, you're not kidding. We are doing that. We're going to fight it with every breath we have.
And so, I certainly hope so. Hey, do you want a little more good news?
Yeah.
Back in February, Donald Trump was on a poll, he had about 43% of the votes. DeSantis 28, and then it went downhill. He's now up to 54% of all Republican, the preference, the primary voters. The Republican Party primary voters, Trump has now got about 54% of the vote. So it's kind of good news. I think that first... a thing he had down in Texas, what do you call it?
Rally.
Whatever
rally.
He had, the rally. The
yeah.
rally in Texas. Apparently, he really jumped up in the ratings.
Yeah, he did. They had thousands and thousands and thousands turned up. You know, I wish that, we know that there's a lot of theatrics. We know that, what we're not hearing, when they go into this, a lot of times our politics are like professional wrestling.
Yeah,
you know,
a little bit
of show business, and what happens is, a lot of times, and they do this on both sides. Before they get into the debate, they'll contact each other. Sometimes, they might even have an agreement. You and I will work against to get this guy out or this one out, and so, but then, they'll put on some theatrics. And sometimes they carry the theatrics a little too far. And, you know, so I think we saw that when Trump was running in the primary for his primary with Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
When Trump called Ted Cruz's wife ugly, that crossed the line, you know.
And it went after his father. That got me, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but kind of messed things up.
When you go to war, you go to win, but you don't reduce yourself, okay, to that level.
Right.
Now, you know, here's what the people in this country want, the decent people. They would like to see Trump and DeSantis on the same ticket. DeSantis is young yet. He's got should the Lord tarry, Trump could go and pull another 4 years, and DeSantis, you know, the country would be in so much better shape that DeSantis would be a shoe-in
for
the next 8 years.
Yeah.
And if they had the smarts to do that. And, you know, I know that they know that that's what people in this country want. I'll tell you what our listeners want. They want us to open the phone lines and take some calls. So why don't we do that?
Well, one quick story. I tried to get in all for a week. They've had another big train derailment in North Dakota, a 70-car train derails, spilling hazardous materials. There were 31 cars and all kinds of bad things. Fortunately, it was cold. The materials didn't leak because they were too cold and there were no people, but when I looked at this article, there's been several other derailments that they have not reported. There was a derailment in Alabama, alignment control couplers. There was other in a Chicago suburb, five other freight cars in Massachusetts, and on and on and on. When I saw that, I thought, what's that old saying? It ain't no way to run a railroad.
Yeah. Well, something else that you're not...
Transportation Secretary that doesn't seem to care that these trains are going off the rails all over the country.
Now, Mr. Buttigieg,
Buttigieg, I just had to get that one in because nobody's hearing about this in at least a dozen since the last big derailment there in Ohio.
But not only that, something even more worrisome than that is... the amount of food processing plants that are burning down, they're not even reporting on it anymore. They've quit, they've just quit reporting on it. Okay, we're going to...
You and I can't talk about it, and people can't get it. Well, we know there's a food shortage. Now they're screaming there's a medical shortage, medicines. It's almost a national emergency. And yet what we've let China produce, 80-85% of our medicines like penicillin or antibiotics stop infections. We've let the enemy produce all of our medicines, and now all of a sudden we're having a shortage.
Well, not only that, but
what happened?
They're bringing in, they're letting your determination on whether or not you receive medical care, Medicaid, Medicare, by artificial intelligence. They're letting artificial intelligence qualify you to either receive it or not.
Well,
all right.
Isn't that smarter than our president? I'm sorry, that was a bad joke.
All right, the phone lines are open at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll be back right after this with more.
Through faith in God, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are endowed with inalienable rights of life and precious liberty, the pursuit of happiness. On these we now take aim and set our sights. Like sleeping watchmen on the wall, we have failed to heed the signs of usurping foreign powers within our land, letting fraud, deceit, and usury be the curse of these hard times. Now won't you heed this wake-up call and lend a hand and be a part of the solution and restore our Constitution. Play your part in reclaiming our nation. Join the Second American Revolution today. In the spirit of our ancestors who refused to live in chains, we now must cast our eyes on liberty's light. For the blood spilled by our forefathers still flows within our veins, and we shall not live as slaves without a fight. Like soldiers, we must stand and face this enemy within and do what we must do to seize the time. For in order to defend and exercise our liberties, we now must place our liberty on the line and be a part of the solution and restore our Constitution. Play your part in reclaiming our nation. Join the Second American Revolution today. Be a part of the solution and restore our Constitution. Play your part in reclaiming our nation. Join the Second American Revolution.
Rout all those traitors right out of our system.
The Second American Revolution today.
All righty, we're back, and we're going to go out to Texas and talk to Mrs. Johnson. Hey, Miss Johnson.
Hello, how are you?
I'm okay, and how are you?
Okay, I got a question on why y'all pray those prayers, some gruff-hearted prayers about people. That God don't hear them kind of prayers at all. You need to be more consistent and not try to have mercy upon people. God don't, you don't listen to any of those prayers, how y'all do.
Well, that's not what God says in his word. He talks about imprecatory prayers. And
well, you're not the word. You don't bless the hard people.
I've taught the Bible for 50 years.
People. That's what your prayer is.
Miss Johnson, I've taught the Bible for 50 years. Now, so how long have you been teaching it?
Teaching who?
Miss Johnson, you need to read your Bible and get into the Word because you don't understand what you're saying.
I don't have no breath of heart and prayers with y'all praying, and you have Bible study, then you're talking about people from their head to the bottom of their feet. That is not biblical.
Look, Miss Johnson, did you vote for Joe Biden? Tell the truth. Miss Johnson,
that's
did you vote for Joe?
I voted for.
Ms. Johnson,
that's not your business.
Did you vote for Joe Biden?
You need to repent what you're doing and stop pointing the fingers at other people. Look in the mirror.
Ms. Johnson, I would never vote for Joe Biden. And if you're ashamed to say that, now you know and God knows and we know. So answer the question and don't lie. Did you vote for Joe Biden? Okay. Ms. Johnson, you need to repent. See, you notice she would not answer that question. Alrighty, let's go to Jerry in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, hello. How are you doing? Keep up the good work there.
Thanks, Jerry.
Enjoy listening to you. Anyway, I just wanted to inform you that Laura Loomer, I'm sure you've heard of her out of Florida, she had some really bad stuff to say about, she did a lot of research on the governor there in Florida, DeSantis. And, boy, she said if people really knew the truth about how he feels about Trump, considering everything Trump did for him, he wouldn't even be where he's at. He was a nobody in Congress before Trump got him elected governor, more or less. And she said He does not like Trump at all. There's no way they would ever be in a ticket together. And she said, I will never vote for him again when she uncovered all the stuff she uncovered. So you might want to try and get Laura Loomer.
Yeah, we've had her on here many times. We should.
Yeah, try and get her on, because she just talked about it here a couple of days ago, and I just picked up kind of the tail end, but she was just said that if people knew what I've uncovered, they would be blown away, because we're not hearing the truth on the governor there in Florida, DeSantis. So,
well, I do know that he was way, way behind in the polls until Trump came. And then when Trump came out and helped him out, he surged. But right now, I'm watching what he's doing. And as far as I can see, DeSantis has been doing all the right things. And, and the Bible tells you, watch what they do. Okay, not so much what they say, but watch what they do. And that's what we have out there today. We have a lot of people saying one thing and doing another. So I'm going to watch DeSantis and see what he does. And the Bible says, by their fruits shall you know them.
Oh, absolutely. And so, she dug up a lot of research on him, because she's really good at research. And, boy, she found out that a lot of bad fruits there. We're just not hearing the truth. He's speaking out of both sides of his mouth. And she said about a lot of the things that were not reported correctly that he claimed to have done that he didn't. And if you could get her on, at least let the people hear what she has to say, and they can decide for themselves if they believe what she's saying or they don't. But boy, she's got a lot of credibility.
So let me see what we can do with her.
Yeah, see what you can do. And also, I called earlier today church, and was also hoping that you could get Matt Staver of Liberty Council on as to what's going on with the WHO taking over our health care and our sovereignty. That's supposed to be voted on sometime in May. And if we don't stop, we need to flood the phone lines there at Congress, let the senators know that this is not an agreement. We need to get this where the economy...
No, Joe Biden did what Joe Biden does by executive order. He sold America out, and he doesn't have the authority to do that, but he doesn't care about the authority or the Constitution.
He doesn't have the authority to even be sitting in that seat.
I know that. And so, I mean, what he's...
Everything about it is just evil out of the pit of hell.
Absolutely.
There's no nice way to say it. That seat was stolen. Pure, plain, and simple. Guy sits in his basement. He doesn't do anything, and he gets elected. And Trump's got him standing out a mile away. I mean, come on. And then you got these people going after, like, Mike Lindell. Oh, the election, you're election denier, and you need to be, get in some camp where they retrain your head, you know?
I hear you. Well, you know, what happens is you've got people like Miss Johnson that just called in here.
Oh, gosh, I don't know where her head was, but
well,
you got some strange characters out there, and it's, sad that is the way they are. They think they know what they don't know.
Right.
You know, well, you have a blessed rest of your evening, and hopefully your shoulder's coming along better, and keep praying for your well-being and that you heal up quick. And
well, thank you very much for that. It really does take some getting used to, I can tell you that.
Well, I can't believe you got back in the saddle as quick as you did, because I know you're in a lot of pain. So God's got some nice crowns.
All righty. Well, thank you so much. God bless you. All right, let's go out to none other than Clifford and Joyzy. Hey, Clifford.
Yeah, how are you doing, guys? One thing on the trans issue, I want to bring up two things and go to Haggai chapter 2. But if you're an orthopedic surgeon, the tibial plateau is different between a male and a female, and the femur is different, and the tibia fibula is different. So he would still have to give them, if they broke their leg, for example, on any of those parts or needed knee surgery, you're still looking at that difference. You're still looking at a female in terms of a skeleton if you're an orthopedic surgeon. Another thing that was interesting is connecting dots on detoxing. I got this book, Master Your Stretch by Dodie Wilson, and she just mentions briefly that what these holistic doctors believe is that if you fast, which is very difficult to do for 72 hours, that your cells clean themselves. And that's suggested for the shots. And I'm referencing the podcast, It's The Union of the Unwanted, episode 43. Dr. Malone's on it, but also a Dr. Alito was giving some of his patients that took the shot and were getting shakes and neurological symptoms. He was giving them that fast prescription along with giving them L-arginine and curcumin and phosphatidylcholine during those 72 hours. And they gave an example of a guy that fully recovered from the damage from the shots. But then I wanted to go to Haggai chapter 2. And in the beginning of that, it says, be strong three times, which is unusual for that type of repetition in the Bible. And at the end of that chapter, it's talking about the overthrow of the strongholds or the strong, which I think is, you know, we do have, for example, strongholds like Big Pharma, basically are strongholds. All these type of strongholds. Just wanted to get your a quick take on that.
Well, and he tells you this, yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Joseph, the high priest, and be strong, O you people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts, according to the word that I covenant with you when you came out of Egypt. To my spirit remaineth among you, fear you not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once in a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. For the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And it shall be a place in which I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. And so, this latter house, this again can only be referenced. When he talks about the latter house, he's talking about the future millennial temple is what he's referring to, with all of the gold and the silver and all of that. So remember, they never finished the total restoration of the temple. And so he's talking about the future temple that's going to be taking place in the millennial kingdom. But he's talking about when he says, be strong, be strong, be strong. That applies to us too today. God is immutable, and he says, fear not. Look, the worst the enemy can do for us is kill us, right? So what happens when that happens?
Send us to heaven.
Right.
Hopefully. Okay. So what's going to happen? The Bible tells you in Revelation 19, starting with verse 11, that not only do we go to heaven, but we come back to earth. And when we come back to earth, this time, guess what? Mrs. Johnson doesn't understand that, but the Lord will return with four categories of his saints. And and people like Joe Biden, people like those people that we were at praying to get, for God to remove, we'll be going to war with them. Remember, John McTurnan and I had a battle with the War Department, with the War College in the Pentagon, when they actually said, according to the Bible, and they referenced Zacharias, chapter 14, stating in Ezekiel 38 that we as Christians should not serve in the military because our allegiance was to Christ and not to NATO. Now think about that. So that's where we've come to in this world. Remember when America was a great nation, a great, great nation, and a good nation? Well, America ceased to be good when she ceased, and great when she ceased to be good.
I would add, you know, say a proper prayer would be, if you're praying for an African nation, ask for protection from America for that nation, from America. I mean, yeah. Jill Biden was over there. You know, she's a depop. The main thing she talked about on a trip to Africa was abortion and depopulation, basically killing Africans. I don't know why they would even host her and allow her in those countries.
Well, again, God has raised us up for such a time as this, and it's time for us to run for the battle while we can. And it's time for us to place up those crowns in glory. And so, and Miss Johnson, you need to repent. The Lord Jesus said, repent or perish. Okay, thanks. Let's go out to Nathan. This will be the last call because we're running out of time.
Okay, Pastor, you keep mentioning what Mike Pence didn't do. What was he supposed to do according to the Constitution?
Mike Pence stood right there in front of him. You had a number of people standing there with all of the documentation of election fraud. His job was to say, let me, before I verify this, let me look at that. That's my job. Let me look at this and this evidence right here of election fraud before I verify and before I certify. And that's what Mike Pence was supposed to do. He knew that, and he was instructed that he knew that. So there you go. Is that good?
Pastor, the Senate certifies the vice president. The Congress certifies the president. The vice president has no role. Only thing he does is open the envelope.
His job, and he knew that. There's been a number of constitutional lawyers have come out. This is why you've got the lawsuits now. And standing right in front of him was Josh Hawley and others. And he knew that his job was to look at the evidence before he certified that. His job was to serve, but he had the opportunity to say, look, we're going to take 10 days.
Read the 12th Amendment. Read the 12th.
Okay, we're out of time for tonight. Joe, you've got 4 minutes. Can you do it?
Sure can.
Okay. Go ahead.
I was looking at Scripture, and from Daniel and John and Psalms, there's a lot about confession of sin. And we were talking tonight, you know, America is sinning. That is our problem. We're sinning by commission and omission. And God said, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and thy judgments. It says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world, anyone in the world who would confess. And what we have to do, because we're a sinner, we need a Savior. And the first word Jesus said, it was Matthew 4:17, from the time that Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We saw the same thing in Hosea. Repent. As a nation, we have to repent. As individuals, especially those of you out there who are not born-again believers, you have to what? Repent. Repent of the sins that put Jesus on that cross. He was the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. He went to the cross. He took my sins, Pastor Ernie's sins. He paid the price, a substitutionary death for our sins. And what we have to do to have peace, to have salvation, to become part of the family of God, is to repent of those sins to the Heavenly Father, that our sins put His Son on that cross. That Jesus, if I were the only sinner in the world, Jesus would have gone to the cross, taken my sins, and died for me, and He would do, will do it, or did it for you. We call upon the Father with a repentant heart, truly sorry for the sins we've done, that we're ready to change our life, turn from our wicked ways, go to the Father, start being obedient. Then Jesus, we can call upon Jesus to be the Lord of our life. We can ask Him to come in and, you know, be our Lord, that we give ourselves to Him completely, without hesitation, without reservation. And in doing so, Jesus will enter us through the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm in the Father in me, and I am in you. By that indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we become a saint, a born-again believer, a child of the kingdom, a joint heir with Jesus in everlasting life. We are sealed by that promise forever until we are given that new glorified body when we go to heaven. And it will be the greatest decision you will ever make. Nobody can make it for you. Nobody can save you. You have to repent and be, like Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. You have to have that spiritual baptism, receiving the Holy Spirit of God, and it can only come from Christ. And it can only be sent when you repent of your sins to the Father. And if one of those things, if you wait too long, you may be one of those people that God calls home before you get around to it. A heart attack, a car accident, falling off a ladder. Things happen every day to people. They die before many of them have made that decision where they want to spend eternity, whether in heaven with Christ or with Satan in hell. It's your choice. God does not send anyone to hell. You send yourself.
All right, Joe, we're out of time for tonight. And so, as we do every night at this time, we want to say to all of you out there, good night.
Good night.
God bless.
Bless.
And always, always,
keep
fighting the fight.
Fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.